July 7th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series on Civic Media and WAUK Radio, 540 AM. I am your host, Don Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in the Work Hub Studios in downtown Waukesha. I am joined by my amazing producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who is producing from the comfort of his home in Milwaukee. Normally, he joins me from the WAUK studios in Radio Park, so but it's nice that he gets to relax in his own setting. So, and for the first time since the summer of 2022, I am honored to have as my guest our Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Wisconsin and fellow black shirt parent, the Honorable Sarah Rodriguez. Sarah, welcome again. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Terrific. And this is Sarah's third appearance on This Week in Waukesha, but it's only her first as our Lieutenant Governor. So yeah. It's really great that we can connect. If it's okay, I'm also been very privileged. This is like our third encounter in probably less than a month. Yeah. She came to Predominant Park for a special event for the Waukesha Special Olympics that my successor in the city council, Mike Cruzine, invited me to. And then a week later, we had a wonderful meeting with the iron workers on their ESL program and some of the other initiatives they're doing. So you have you've had a pretty packed schedule, but you're finding time to enjoy the summer, I trust?
Always. I do. I try to find time to enjoy the summer. My kids are a little older now. They're 16 and 18, and my son just graduated from Waukesha South.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. One down, one to go. So, you know, we're pretty excited about that. He's going to be going to UW-Whitewater in the fall, doing accounting in Spanish. So we're really excited to have him move on to do the next things he wants to do. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun this summer. I went to the Waukesha Fireworks on July 3rd. Those were lovely. We always get a big group together of my friends. There's probably about 20 of us, 20 to 25 of us. I always bring my mom. It is. It's such a great venue. And it's a lot of space. And they have the food trucks there. And then they have the bar and the bands. And that's what I love so much about Waukesha is that there is always something to do. And that the city really makes sure that families can go to these types of events all together. And I think it's great. I bring my mom. She's 80. She just turned 80. She loves going to the fireworks. And so I always bring her every year as well with my friends.
That's wonderful. Yeah, we were in Colorado for our youngest daughter at a softball tournament there. So we missed all the festivities and we're really sad to learn that the 4th of July parade was canceled because it was heat and lightning, I understand.
Yeah, I think they did cancel the actual parade, which was a little bit of a bummer. And it was, there was lightning and it was raining. And so we just I'm sure they just didn't want to make anybody unsafe. Yeah. So they made sure that they canceled that parade. Yeah.
Fair enough. But I believe I follow you on a different social media, but on Instagram. And I think you were at a parade. You did make it to one of the
I did. I went to, first I went to Wauwatosa in the morning and then I was in the Econimwalk parade in the afternoon. And so both were great. Wauwatosa started just as the rain ended, which was lovely. Mm-hmm. And then Econimwalk was just a ton of fun. Lots of kids, lots of families out there. It was really, really nice. My brother actually lives in Econimwalk. So I got to wave to him and my sister-in-law as I was walking in the parade. So it was a lot of fun.
Sure. Oh, that's great. They must have felt very cool, right? That the lieutenant governor was waving to them. My sister.
He is my little brother. And so, and not very much, like 18 months, like he's just he's 13 months younger than me. So he's just, he's my little brother, but he also likes to, you know, poke me a little bit. So he makes fun of me on a regular basis. But it was really fun to be able to see them there.
Sure. Terrific. So, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up that, you know, while we were enjoying a great holiday weekend, there was that horrific tragedy in Texas with the floods. And I believe at least 80 people killed, including 27 young women who were at a summer camp.
Yeah.
And, you know, to our listeners, actually, my heart goes out to all of you. And, you know, I just want to give you an opportunity. I'm sure you have some sentiments you'd like to convey or that you have already, I'm sure, publicly.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how devastating this is for parents. You send your child away from camp. I do it every year with my kids when they were little. And my daughter was a camp counselor at a Girl Scout camp this summer. And so to send them away, which is hard enough to do that with your kids, and then to have this tragedy happen for parents, it's just really, it's overwhelming. And my heart goes out to those families in Texas.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think too, it's, I don't know, we don't get very many floods in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. I guess, gratefully, but we do have our share of weather. And but it's also good to know that we have, it seems like, the resources and the ability to look out for each other. If, you know, a lot of people are blaming a lack of federal resources as it relates to weather reports and FEMA. And I've heard about, you know, kind of mixed reports on that. And do we kind of have, you know, with our state, you know, at the state level, do we have kind of the resources or the backup or the, I apologize, I don't have the right words, but.
Yeah. We have one of those things that they talked about was early warning systems. And mm-hmm. we do have that here in Wisconsin. Floods aren't as common as tornadoes, as we have a lot of tornadoes in Wisconsin.
Right. Right.
And so having those sirens to be able to go off, especially when it's late at night, you're not going to be able to get something on your phone to mm-hmm. to let you know that weather might be happening. And so having those early warning systems in Wisconsin is really, really important. And I know we've got very committed individuals within the state of Wisconsin. I too am worried about the cuts to the federal government and the accuracy of what those weather reports are going to look like. And it's really the job of our federal government to say when a tragedy like this happens, and it is an absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
We want to make sure we do everything we can to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And so looking into whether or not there were lapses because we didn't have the type of support we needed at the federal government mm-hmm. Is something that should be looked into. That is Congress's job. That is the Department of Homeland Security's job. That is over disaster preparedness and management. Mm-hmm. That is something that they should be looking into to make sure nothing like this happens again.
Sure, sure. But yeah, I appreciate your sharing on that. And, mm-hmm. And I guess while we are talking politics, surprise, surprise, what should Waukesha residents know about what's going on in Madison in terms of developing legislation or activities that you think affects us here locally and that we should be, you know, paying keen attention to?
We just passed the budget. So Governor Evers signed it
in the wee
hours of the night. He signed it to make sure that we could have the dollars that we needed coming into Wisconsin before the federal budget got signed, which is why he normally signs it with a little bit more fanfare. But this time he did it to make sure that we signed our budget before the federal budget was signed so that we could get additional federal dollars into Wisconsin. So that's why he did that in the wee hours of the morning. One of the things that I really think is great that we got into the budget, and it was a bipartisan budget. There were both Democrats and Republicans who voted for it. And there was a lot of negotiation that happened around that budget. What I'm really proud of is some of the childcare pieces. I know it doesn't matter if I'm in Waukesha, it doesn't matter if I'm in Ashland, I'm in Racine, people talk to me about childcare all the time. And I feel lucky that my kids are older because it is an enormous struggle for families to be able to, number one, find spots, just finding a spot. And then number two, affording that spot within the childcare system. It's a drain on a family's finances. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to get dollars into the budget to be able to directly pay childcare providers so that they could, you know, lower some of their costs and stay in business. They were basically saying if this funding went away and it was just about to sunset, they were going to have to close. Almost 20 to 25% were saying that they would consider closing without these additional resources. So, which would make this struggle even bigger across Wisconsin. So I'm really proud of that. Mm-hmm. You may not think it's as important to Waukesha, but we also have a lot of good things for rural development in Wisconsin. So for rural road development, for business opportunities, and that's going to help the whole state overall. But that's something that I think was really great about this budget. And once again, it's not the budget that the governor initially put together. He had put quite a lot of funding into even more funding into K through 12 schools. He put even more funding into the UW system. He, you know, had he had done some of these things to make sure that people could have could be able to afford to live in Wisconsin. So although we're, you know, disappointed that the entire budget that governor put together didn't get passed, we're happy with the negotiated results that we had with the legislature. And we're really hopeful for 2026 is that we are going to be able to flip our state Senate and flip our state assembly and have a Democratic governor. And then we can really put these investments into Wisconsin that we've been trying to do for the past 8 years under Governor Evers' leadership.
Sure. Because I understand that the state's still sitting on a surplus.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that Waukesha County, my county supervisor, Terry Thieme, was on the show more than a year ago. Probably longer than that, about introducing a county sales tax. And that was just because they weren't getting their money back from the state.
And that's that shared revenue that you hear about all the time. And we did do some additional pieces to make sure more shared revenue came back to the municipalities. Right. Still more work to be done. Our job isn't done on that. But what we were also able to do is to have some pretty significant tax cuts for the lower to middle class folks within Wisconsin. Good. So that's going to be something I think that's going to be hitting people's pocketbooks as well, because that money is taxpayer money. And when we have a surplus, we want to use it for good things, whether that's infrastructure, whether that's the UW system. And if we can, we can lower the tax burden for residents in Wisconsin. And that's what we did in this budget as well.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you know, it's, I guess another point I can bring up is a couple times I had my neighbor, Ron Gulata, who was the interim dean at UW-Milwaukee Waukesha, and they had a big celebration in May, Corby's Last Roar, they called it. And after, I think it was like 58 years it was open, something like a real, you know, really storied history and a lot of, you know, big impact on this community and the state for that matter. And what's with some of these, I guess what's happened with the new budget, but also with you know, your administration, Evers administration, what is the outlook on education look like? Are we going to see more colleges closing, or are we going to put more resources into education?
Yeah, we did in this budget. We got some historic investments in the UW system, which is great. Not only in dollars for the universities overall, but we were also able to get some capital funds to be able to, you know, update a lot of those buildings that we have in the UW system. I mean, our UW system is such a jewel. It just really is for Wisconsin. And it's a way to pull people into the state or have them stay. You know, my son applied to a couple of different places when he was looking at college, but he ended up at Whitewater because he thought it was the best value for his money.
Sure.
And I mean, clearly the guy's going into accounting, right? So he's going to do all the math about what the best value for his money
is. Crunching the numbers.
He's crunching the numbers. And he really, really knew that Whitewater was going to be the place for him. So that is really great that he's deciding to stay. And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure our young people stay in Wisconsin. They raise their families here. They get their education here. Sure. They participate in the economy here. And supporting the UW system as well as the technical colleges is a way to do that. And we have just a world-class technical college system as well. And we were able to get some additional dollars there. And what I'm encouraged is what I'm seeing across the UW system is those partnerships with those technical colleges. So if the kind of two-year universities like the Waukesha, you know, many of those have been going away, there's still a couple within the state.
Right.
How can we then pivot to the technical college system and have those partnerships between like UW-Milwaukee and WCTC here in Waukesha? What does that look like? And I've been really encouraged by those conversations between the university system and the technical college system.
And even the relationships they have with the high schools, like at our beloved Waukesha South, there's kids going right into it. WCTC, they're getting some college level coursework and
they are. Yeah. They're doing all sorts of really unique and innovative things. I'll tell you about one story actually, and this isn't in Waukesha, but it was up north Wisconsin. And one of the high schools had worked with the technical college system to actually be able to graduate a senior in high school with their licensed practical nursing degree at the same time that they graduated high school. And that's we know there's a huge shortage of nurses across Wisconsin. So I, every time I go and I talk to people, we are doing such amazing, innovative work that I'm just so excited to be able to talk to people like that.
And I'm excited to see more young people going into the trades through the technical schools. It's I no longer ask, high school age kids, where are you going to college? It's like, what are you doing after high school? Because a lot of them are opting for some really great opportunities in the trades as electricians, carpenters.
Yeah, and our unions have amazing apprenticeships, which are great because the Wisconsin law is you earn while you learn. And so you get paid for the time that you are in class. And then you are also on site with the mentor. And it's a great way to be able to get a family, like a family sustaining job and come out with no debt at the end of the day, which is a real burden on some of our young people.
Yeah. No doubt, no doubt whatsoever. So what about, I know a topic very near and dear to your heart, healthcare. What have been some of the, what's going on lately, or what are some of the strides that you'd like to recognize?
So, you know, it's been, we were able to fund again, Badger Care within Wisconsin, within this budget. I would have liked to have seen us expand Badger Care, which would have brought more federal dollars into the state of Wisconsin. Unfortunately, that's that has not been able to get past the Republican legislature. The other one I would love to have seen was expanding Medicaid or Badger Care to 12 months postpartum. Which we are only one of two states that has not expanded, us in Arkansas. That's it. And so to make sure we can take care of women who have just had babies, I mean, that seems like a smart move to me. And it's really important to me as a clinician to make sure that that moms have that care after they have babies. It's such a vulnerable time for them. But, you know, as we're kind of moving forward, I do want to make sure that we look at the federal government as well. These Medicaid cuts that they have passed in their budget are going to be devastating for healthcare in Wisconsin, particularly rural healthcare. And if you think it doesn't matter because you're not on Medicaid or Badger Care, it will, because costs are going to go up for those with private insurance, and wait times are going to go up for those with private insurance, because we're going to have more hospitals closing. So that is one thing that I was very disappointed with the federal government passing those Medicaid cuts this last
year. I saw some questions on, and I saw some questions on social media about how will this impact those that are on ACA or Obamacare?
So one of the other things that they were looking at, so the Obamacare is the marketplace. So if you, I know several people who are independent business owners, and that's where they get their healthcare from. They get it off of the marketplace. And, you know, if you can be able to get some of your premium discounted based on your salary, how much money you make. And so some of the pieces within this, this legislation could have an effect on the amount of subsidies that people are going to be able to get off of the marketplace. And so that's a real concern as well for me, is that to make healthcare unaffordable for people, that doesn't serve anybody. Because when you're healthy, when you can take care of yourself, when you can get on your medications, you're going to be able to be more present in society, in your community. You're going to be able to work more hours. And so it's an economic argument and boon to make sure that people have the healthcare that they need.
Well, and there's been this big trend in recent years about entrepreneurship and having entrepreneurship curriculums and degrees at our colleges. And I think even at the high school and grade school level. And how do you expect people to be entrepreneurs if there isn't proper healthcare for these people that are taking that leap of faith going into business?
That's really hard. I still remember when the Affordable Care Act passed, I had a friend whose husband had wanted to start his own business for years, but she was an independent worker and they relied on his healthcare. And so once the Affordable Care Act passed, he was able to go out and start his business because he's like, yes, I can get it on the marketplace. They ran their numbers, they ran their math, and they were able to do it. And so being able to take that step is super important for our economy and for people to do those types of things, those small businesses.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, thanks so much for joining us for this first episode, and really pleased that you're joining us for the second one. We have much more to cover, including the simple question, what does a lieutenant governor do? And so we're going to have some fun in this, the second podcast. So stick around, everybody. On This Week in Waukesha, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for part two with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Thank you, and see ya.